Okay, we are up to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, right? And we are up to the Gemara just on, we're going to be up to the third line from the top. The Gemara basically had a contradiction in a Braisa. The Braisa said that half the Braisa went like Rabbi Yechanan, and half the Braisa went like Rish Lakish. Yesterday we had a Machlokes, Rabbi Yechanan, Rish Lakish. If Reuven dies without children, and Shimon gives Chalitza to one of the wives, right? And then Shimon marries her, which is a lav, which is illegal, but valid, according to everybody. And then Shimon dies without children. So the beginning of the Braisa seemed to say that Levi should do chalitza. Not Yibum, because it's a lav to him, because it is, once Yibum wasn't done, Shuv lo Yivna, it's a lav. But he has to give chalitza, because it's not an erva. That's like Rabbi Yechanan. But then the Braisa continued and said that if one of the brothers tried to marry this chalutza, not Shimon himself, it's not valid. That's like Rish Lakish that seems to say it's a chiyuv karis. So yesterday we gave an answer that Rabbi Yechanan learns that the second part of the Braisa is going like Rakiva, who holds kedushin doesn't work in chayvei lavin. Right? We're going to start from the first line of the page on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Ravashi saw like Rish Lakish and Matayas like Rav Shimon v'Lakish. Rav Shimon. Ravashi had it held like Rish Lakish that for any brother to marry this chalutza's karis, and he learned pshat the Braisa, he was able to reconcile the beginning and the end of the Braisa if you hold like Rav Shimon. Ravina saw like Rav Yechanan and Matayas like Rav Aron. Ravina holds like Rav Yechanan that it's only a love, and he reconciled the end of the Braisa that it like Rav Aron. And now the Gemara will explain. Ravashi saw like Rish Lakish and Matayas like Rav Shimon. And this is the way the Braisa is supposed to read. Hacholus liyavemtai, somebody who gives chalitza to his Yivama. Shimon gave chalitza for Reuven's wife. Reuven died without children. Because of a kitchen, then Shimon married her, which is a valid kedushin according to everybody. Tzricha chalitza minachem. And then Shimon dies without children. Levi has to give chalitza. Now that was a problem according to Rish Lakish, because to Levi she's a chayv karis. Therefore, Ravashi said, man achim, achim hayeludim. These are brothers who were born after Shimon married her. Shimon gave chalitza, and then then Shimon married her, then Shimon's father had another son. Now to that son, he came into the world and met her as Shimon's wife. If you remember, Reb Shimon said that any brother born post Yibum is not usher to this lady as Eshes Achim Shlohei by Lamai. We had this back in the, a blot ago, that according to Reb Shimon, if a person, Reuven dies without children, Shimon is Miyabim, and then Shimon has a new brother that's born, that brother can be Miyabim Shimon's wife. He never knew her as Reuven's wife. So he doesn't deal with her as Reuven's wife. Same thing would be true here. Reuven died without children. Shimon did chalitza and then married her. Ivar Alav. But then, brother number four, whatever brother you wanted to be, was born. And now, to him, it was never Reuven's wife. So he has no chiyuv karis. So now when Shimon dies, he has to give chalitza. He didn't know her as Reuven's wife. It's never usher to him as Reuven's wife. So there's no key of karis, even according to Rish Lakish. So achaylitz the event of the chaz of a kitcha tzvicha chalitza min ha'achim. Man achim, achim ha'yeludim. Right? The brothers who are going to be born, were born after Shimon married her. They don't have a chi of karis, even according to Rish Lakish. They never knew her as Reuven's wife. And therefore, they never had a chi of karis as Reuven's wife. They met her as Shimon's wife. They were born into this world after she was Shimon's wife. Shimon dies, they have to do chalitza. They can't do yibum for a side reason, because since Shimon wasn't allowed to be married her, it's a lav, we don't want yibum for that. It's a rabbinic isser of not doing yibum. But they do chalitza. It's 100% mutter to do chalitza. Biblically, you can even do yibum. Because this brother never knew her as Reuven's wife. Kibankar of Shimon. Amar Echa ben Aniladim, the end of the Braisa, one of the older brothers went to Kitcha, one of the brothers that were alive when Reuven died, right? Shimon did Chalitza, but this brother has a Chi of Karis, according to Rish Lakish. So Ein Lo Alav Klum. So the Kedusha is not good. Kaman Ka Rish Lakish. So if Ashi just reconciled this Braisa, that it can work like Rish Lakish. The first part of the Braisa that says that if Shimon does Chalitza and dies, there's a need for a Chalitza from another brother, is not existing brothers. It's brothers that are born after Shimon married her. Then those brothers can marry her, biblically, so there's a need for Chalitza. There's no chorus. They never knew her as Reuven's wife. The second part of the Braisa is talking about brothers that were alive when Reuven died. To them, she's chorus, because only Shimon does Chalitza, has a laugh to her. But Rish Lakish's opinion is, all other brothers have chorus. So therefore, if one of the other brothers tries to marry her, it's an invalid Kedushin. That's how Rav Ashi learns it. Rashi. Rav Ashi samalek Rish Lakish amr b'karis. The Seifa Nicha, and the Seifa makes sense. It says one of the brothers want to marry her. It's an invalid Kedushin. Umetaris la'lareish of the Braisa, at the beginning of the Braisa, the Ktani Tzara Chalitza ba'achim, shenoldu la'achim chalitza, the brothers Tzara Chalitza, ba'achim shenoldu la'achim chalitza, the Kedushin Shosheini. Brothers that were born after Chalitza, and after Shimon did Kedushin. That if Yibum was done and then a new brother was born, the fact that she was once married to the first one and he died, it has nothing to do with this new brother. This new brother never met the first brother. By the time he was born, this woman was married to somebody else. The bond of falling from the original brother never banned her to this new brother born. The high. By the time he was born, Kvar Kitchazeh, Shimon had already married her. So this is according to Reb Shimon, who said that only brothers were born prior to the Yibum, right? If Reuven died, then there was a brother born, and then Shimon did either Chalitza or Yibum, that woman would be Asa forever on the new brother. But if Reuven died, and Shimon did Yibum, or Chalitza, and then married her, by the time this brother was born, it was Shimon's wife, we don't associate him at all to being Reuven, as far as her relationship to her, as having once been Reuven's wife. Because he came into the world when she was already married to somebody else. That was Shimon's opinion. So according to that, that brother would have to do Chalitza if Shimon died. That's the beginning of the Braisa, that one of the brothers does Chalitza, because it's not Karis to him, because he was born after Shimon married her. The second part of the Braisa is talking about one of the existing brothers who was around when Reuven was alive, and then he died, and Shimon did Chalitza, and one of the existing brothers do Kedushin, that wouldn't work according to Rish Lakish, because it's Karis, because it's his brother's wife, and he's not the one that did Chalitza. And if you remember yesterday, we explained that Rish Lakish's opinion is that all brothers are Bekaris, except the one that did Chalitza to the woman he did Chalitza to. That's what we explained yesterday. That is Rish Lakish's opinion, and that is how he would learn the Braisa. Ravina Savalak Rabbi Yechanan. Ravina Holzmark Rabbi Yechanan, that all brothers are only alive. And therefore the beginning of the Braisa makes perfect sense. And he says, reconciles this Braisa according to the Rabbanon. How? Somebody gives Chalitza to his Yivama. Shimon gave Chalitza to Reuven's wife. The Chazav a Kitchen, he married her. Shriza Chalitza Menachem. Levi would have to do Chalitza, because it's only a lav to him. This is Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. Man Achim, Achim and Anulodim. The existing brothers, the brothers that were born before Reuven died. They are only a lav, and therefore they have to do Chalitza. They can't do Yibum because it's a lav, but they can do Chalitza because it's not Karis. This is Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, that all brothers to the woman, to all the wives of Reuven are only a lav. Because since they were all eligible from Yibum or Chalitza, from any of the brothers, there's no longer Karis. Period. So the Braisa makes perfect sense. The second part of the Braisa is as follows. Amet Echad Men HaYiludim, what if one of the new brothers came to Kitchen? Right? What happened was, Reuven died, Shimon did Chalitza. Then his mother had a baby. That baby, according to the Rabbanan, can never marry Reuven's wife because it's Eishes Achiv Shlohaya by Lamai. Remember, Rabbanan argued with Shimon. They say that even though this baby entered the world after Shimon married her, it's still asked to him as Reuven's wife. And he never had the heter of Chalitz or Yibum that it should only be a lav. To him, it is Karis. But even Rabbi Yochanan, who said it's only a lav and all the brothers, it was only all the brothers that could do Yibum or Chalitza. So even though one did it, but they all only had a lav. But this new brother couldn't do Yibum or Chalitza. This new brother is banned forever to Reuven's wife because it's Eishes Achiv Shlohaya by Lamai. So if he tries to marry her at one point, that's a karis. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that would be a karis. And that's what the end of the braisa is saying. Amen Echam and Ayeludim, if one of the new brothers who are born subsequent to Shimon's marrying her, the Kitcha, Ein La'al of Klum, that's karis. Like Rabbanon say, that Eishes Achiv Shlohaya by Lamai encompasses even brothers marrying that born after Shimon married her. So here you have a machloikas how to learn this braisa. Rav Ashi, who learns like Rish Lakish, learned that the braisa is going like Rav Shimon, and that new brothers born after Shimon's marriage can marry this woman, and therefore have no restriction, and that's why the beginning of the braisa said it works. Rav Yochanan holds it to love. Ravina holds it to Rav Yochanan. Therefore, he says the end of the Braisa is going on new brothers, but going like to Rabbanon, that say all new brothers can never marry this lady because it's Eishes Achiv Shlohaya by Lamai. Therefore, the Braisa says, Ein la alav klum. So both Mandiyam, remember, Shlokish and Rav Yochanan have a way to learn this Braisa. One will learn it like Rav Shimon, and one will learn it like Rabbanon. And one will fit it into his opinion, and one will fit it into his opinion. Rashi. Ravina Savala Krav Yechanan, the Amar Chai V'Lavaninu, V'Rei Shenicha, and the beginning is great. Shimon married her, Shimon died, the brothers do Chalitza because it was only, it's only a lav. Umataretz the Sefer, the Tani Ein La'olav Klum, I the Sefer says that if one of the brothers marry her, it's not valid. It's only a love. The answer is Ba'akam Shinodu Lachar Mikan. These are newly born brothers. Ukrabbanan the Amri, Eishes Achiv Shlohaya by Lamai. According to the Rabbanan who say that this, it goes under Eishes Achiv Shlohaya by Lamai, but like Tikshi Reisha L'Seifa, and there's no contradiction in the beginning and the end. Now, Rashi explains the Gemara. Hayiludim, right? According to Rashi, the beginning of the Braisa talks about new brothers. That's Hayeludim. Yeludim means Shenodu Acher Kedushin Shoseh. They were born after Shimon's Kedushin. But like Itzur Alayu B'Chalitzasai, they never became usher to him when Shimon did Chalitza. The Azika Kamaisa They never had a bond with Reuven's wife as Reuven's wife. They were born when she no longer was Reuven's wife. And they have no isser of marrying a wife of a brother that they never knew, because they didn't meet her as that brother's wife. Shimon says, if Shimon's miyabim, right, and then the brother is born, forget, according to the new brother, she's not Reuven's wife. No connection to him. And therefore, he's allowed to marry her. Amen Echabin HaNeilodim, however, the Sefer is talking about, one of the existing brothers, Shehoyu B'Shas Chalitza Rishayna, they were alive when Reuven died, and they were there when Shimon gave Chalitza. Eilal of Klum. It's not a valid Kedushin. Karish Lakish. Damar Achen Chayavim al Chalutza Karis. That the brothers are Chayav in the Chalutza Karis. Amar Echa Min Hayeludim. Now this is Rabbi Yechanan speaking. Achen Chalitza. Ayat Vila Achen Kedushin. right? One of the new brothers after Chalitza, or even after Shimon marries her, and now the new brother wants to marry her, it's invalid. Not because Shimon had done Chalitza, therefore it's Karas. This is Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. It's not Karas. She was Reuven's wife. He never existed in the same world as Reuven. And since he never existed in the same world as Reuven, he cannot marry her. Come on, Krabanon. The Amri Afilu Yibum Ulubasaiv Nailat Asira. That even if the Yibum happened first, and then the new brother is born, it's Asir. So both Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan are have a way to reconcile the Brisa. Period. We move on to the next sugya, to the next part of the sugya. We'll see. Yes.
Last question. The way the Rashi explains it is that I know them shnoldu achakidushin, and I know them shayushas halitza rishona. So if a brother was born in the lifetime, a younger brother was born in the lifetime of his brother, but the other brother didn't do kidushin or Chalitza until it got around done. Does that make a difference? In other words, it could have been a year apart between the death of the oldest brother, let's say, until the next brother made Kiddushin or Chalitza.
Okay, so you're asking a very good point. I was going to get to that point right now. This is a major tumult in the Achrayim, because Rashi was careful, as you pointed out, to say that the brother was married after Shimon married her. That seems to indicate that if the brother was born after the Chalitza, before Shimon married her, he would be prohibited to her. Then Rashi seems to say that the brother was born after Chalitza, Rashi writes. Right, so this is a big tumult. Some Rishonim say clearly that it has to do with Chalitza. We don't care about marriage. Not like Rashi, who seems to stress the marriage aspect. And some seem to say that you need the Kedushin, because if he comes after Chalitza, it's still not Shimon's wife. It's still Reuven's wife who had Chalitza. However, the Rebbe Chonon doesn't understand that, because when the new brother is born after Chalitza, it's no longer associated with Reuven. Granted, she's nobody else's wife, but she's no longer Reuven's wife either, meaning the bond has been severed. So he's born after the bond was severed. Why should it make a difference if Shimon marries her or not? So this is Rabbi Chanan's kasha. He doesn't give an answer. But this seems to be a machloikis rishayim, your point. At what point do we say that if the new brother is born, according to Shimon, he's allowed to marry her? Is it after Shimon gives Chalitza? At that point, if a brother is born, he never met her as Reuven's wife because the bond has been severed? Or does it have to be that Shimon married her? He has to meet her as somebody else's wife. It's not enough that she's not Reuven's wife anymore. She has to be somebody else's wife. That seems to be a machloikas rishaynim. Rashi seems to say that marriage is what counts. It has to be that Shimon married her before the brother was born. If Shimon wouldn't have married her, just given Chalitza, from Rashi it indicates that it would be usher, even according to Shimon, because he didn't meet her as Shimon's wife. He met her as Reuven's former wife, even though there's no bond to Reuven anymore. Chalitza had been given. Whereas if Shimon did marry her, he met her as Shimon's wife. But your point is well taken. It's a machlokes rishonim. At what point do we say she's no longer Reuven's wife, and the new brother that's born, according to Shimon, would be able to marry her? Is it after Chalitza of Shimon, then he's born? Or is it after Chalitza and then he married her, and then he's born? That seems to be a machloikis rishayim. Zakti Gemara Vayter. Itmar. Haba Yevama. Somebody was Miyabim. The Yevama. Not Chalitza. Reuven died, left over two wives and two brothers. One brother did Yibum to one wife, which is the mitzvah in the Torah. Ubo echad minach and atzerasa. Then the second brother went and married. You can't call it Yibum because there's no mitzvah of Yibum anymore. He married the other wife. Okay? So the two brothers married the two wives. One did the mitzvah of Yibum, and one went ahead and lived with her anyway, with the other wife. Now, it's no mitzvah of Yibum. There's only one mitzvah of Yibum, that one brother should marry one wife. And that afterwards, the Torah says, Bayis Echad Hubayna, we darshan from the Pasuk, you only build one house, not shnei about them. Meaning there's no Yibum to both wives, only to one wife. But this guy went ahead, without the mitzvah of Yibum, he transgressed the Isser of marrying the second wife, because we again infer from the Pasuk that he only builds one house, not two houses. And he went ahead and he married the second one. What transgression did he commit here? So it's a machloikas pligi bar Ravacha Ravina. Chanamar Bekaris. One says that once one brother did Yibum, the other brother is Karis on the other woman. So now, Shimon does Yibum to one of the women, Levi goes to the other woman, he is now committing Karis. It's his brother's wife, and there's no mitzvah of Yibum. V'chanamar Basay. And one said, no. The Isser brother's wife went off. Any brother could have done a Yibum to any wife. And therefore, there's no longer an Isser of Karis. Except, we have an Isser Asay. The Torah said, only do Yibum to one. The inference is, no mitzvah of Yibum to a second. You're not allowed to be Miyabim the second. It's a prohibition derived from a positive. The Torah never said, don't marry the second. The Torah said, only do Yibum to one. The inference is, don't do Yibum to a second one. So that's a prohibition derived from a positive. That's called, let me finish, that's called transgressing a positive. So one, Mandamer Bekaris, Kirish Lakish, holds like Kirish Lakish, that only the one that has either Yibum or Chalitza to one, that one is permissible, or is only a lav. Anybody else remains in Karis. Therefore, if Shimon did Yibum, Levi is also Bekaris to the any other of the women, because the Eishes Ach was only removed for the person who either did Chalitza or Yibum. That the minute Reuven died, any brother could have done Yibum or Chalitza to any of the women. Therefore, there is no longer a Karis Isser. There is an Isser, a lav, in case Reuven Shimon does Chalitza. It's a lav to marry that woman. And if Shimon does the Yibum, it's a assay not to marry another woman. That's all. It's never Karis. Yes, Rebbe Ram.
I mean, the question is, I mean, does it make a difference if it's the same person who did Yibum took the second wife, or is it only Nogea, another brother?
That would be the same thing.
Wait, so again, this is going both according to Rebbe and the Rabbana. Wasn't that Pasuk Lacha or something?
I'm not 100% sure what you mean.
Wasn't that the Pasuk with Lacha? If both people are mutter, then you take one. Wasn't that the Pasuk with Lacha?
Well, they were both mutter. They were both mutter.
No, is this going to... Did the Rabbanan have that same halacha? Or no, Rebbe for sure did. Did Rabbanan have the same halacha as that? We darshan the lacha if both are...
Here they're both mutter. They're both mutter here.
I know.
So why would anybody say it's us? Why would anybody be saying it's us, sir?
How did Rabbanan know that halacha?
To what? I failed to...
This halacha, isn't this Rebbe's halacha?
No, it isn't. According to the Rabbanan, they learned Tzaris Erev is Aser from somewhere else. That's all. That was halacha of Tzaris Erev. What does it got to do with here? There's no Erev here. That was...
It becomes an Erev.
It's not an erva. Why is it an erva? According to Rabbi Yochanan, the minute Reuven died, all his wives become mutter. Any one of his wives become mutter to any one of the brothers. There's no longer a shesach. No one is an erva.
Okay, and according to...
Rish Lakish, only the one that does Yibum to the woman he does Yibum, or the one that does Chalitza to the woman he does Chalitza, everybody else remains in the Yisr erva, or reverts back to the Yisr erva. That's why it's Karis.
Back to it.
Now, there are Rishayim that say, however, you brought up a good point. What if the same person would do Yibum to both of the women? Would he get Karis? Some Rishayim say yes. What difference does it make if it's him or other the brothers? However, some Rishayim say that if he did it, he would only be Eiver Nasei. I don't know why. I'm not 100% sure I understand why. Because to the other woman, it should be Karis. But if he did it, he would only be Eiver Nasei. Even Rish Lakish would agree that if the same brother did Yibum to both wives, it would only transgress an Asay. A bias echad ubayin avayim bayin nishnei batim. He's not supposed to do Yibum to two wives. It wouldn't be Karis. Not sure exactly. I mean, I would have understood it like the other Rishayim, but it is a Machlaikis Rishayim. Just want to point that out. Rashi. Basay. Bayis echad ubayna. Ve'im bayna beis batim. The Torah says, Ban es beis achiv. Ashliv nes beis achiv. I forgot the Loshen HaPasuk. I'll tell you in a second what the Pasuk is. It says, no, I don't have the Pasuk here. We say, Bayis echad ubayna. He builds one house. Ve'ein bayna shnei batim. He doesn't build two houses. Right. And any love that's derived from a positive, the Torah never spoke out the negative, it just said a positive, is a positive. Remember Rabbi Yechanan said, this brother represents all the brothers. Just like to this guy, marrying the second wife would only be an asay. It's not acting for the brothers. See, here's where Rashi says it. This person has an assay to marry the second wife. This is Rashi's opinion. Rashi's opinion is that if the person who did Yibum to one did Yibum to the other, even Rish Lakish would agree that it's only an assay. Rashi says so. He has an assay to marry the second wife, but everybody else has an Isra Shesach. So it's very interesting according to Rashi. Shimon did Chalitza and then married the other woman, he would be Ivor Karis. If Shimon did Yibum to one of the women and then married the other woman, it would only be an assay. That's what Rashi seems to say, that even though the rest of the brothers have Karis, but this person that did Yibum to one only has an assay to do Yibum to the other. If he did Chalitza to one, the Gemara clearly said that according to Rish Lakish, if the guy tried to marry the other one, it would be a Karis. But if he did Yibum to one, he's allowed to marry the other one. It's only an assay. It would be a valid marriage. Again, I'm not 100% sure I understand why. Because why should it be allowed to marry? Why is the second one not Karis? Just like if he did Chalitza to one, the second one is Karis. So why if he did Yibum to one, is it only an assay? I don't know, but this is Rashi's opinion. I said it to Machlekes Rishayim. This is Rashi's opinion. Not sure. I'm not sure why it should make a difference. Not sure. But that's Rashi's opinion. That if somebody marries one, and then he wants to marry the other, even Rish Lakish would say it's only an assay. If one of the brothers want to marry the other, then it would be an Issur Karis. That's what Rashi seems to say. Rashi says it. End of the sugya. We now start a whole new sugya. Amarav Yehuda Amarav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Tsaras Saita Asura. Why? I'm going to explain it in a minute. My timer. Tumuk Sivba Karayas. Okay. A woman that's Mizana. Now, usually we think Saita is a woman that we don't know whether she was Mizana. But even a woman that we know she's Mizana is called a Saita. She doesn't drink. She's asked to her husband because she was Mizana while she was married to him, right? Now, Reuven was married to two wives. One of them committed znus while she was married to him. No questions. She was committed znus willingly while she was married to him. She's forbidden to him, but he didn't divorce her yet. He has to give her a get. He doesn't have to pay her a ksuba, but he has to give her a get. He did not give her a get. He died. He had no children. They both fall liyibum. Now, the Saita herself, we can't be Miyabim for many reasons. But the Tzara, she's not an Erva. She's his brother's wife who died without children. But the Torah calls a Saita Tumah. The Torah uses the word Acharei Asher Hutama because, or it says Venistera Vehinitma. It uses the word Tuma, which is the same words that the Torah uses by Arias, Al Tutamu Bechal Eila. So since the Torah uses the word Tuma, the Torah says, view this lady that was Mizana as if she were an Erva. Now I want to clarify that if Reuven did not divorce this woman and continued living with her, he would be violating an Isser. He'd be violating an Isser. But he would not be Chayiv Karis. It's his wife. He should divorce her. He's prohibited from having a relationship with her. If he violates it, he violates an Isser. Right? But he's not Karis. It's not an Erva. Then he dies, Reuven. Now to Shimon, neither of these women are an Erva. They're both his brother's wives, but that's the mitzvah of Yibum. But the Torah said the word Tumah, and therefore since the Torah said the word Tumah, Rav learned that the Torah came and said, view this woman as an Erva to all brothers, and therefore none of the brothers can do Yibum to her or to her Tzara. Because the Torah called this woman an Erva. And therefore there's no mitzvah of Yibum and no biblical mitzvah of Chalitza. It's a biblical Erva. The Torah said, view biblically this woman that was Mizana under her husband as if she's an Erva. And therefore when Reuven died, there's no mitzvah Yibum Chalitza to that woman or to her Tzara. Because her Tzara is viewed as a Tzara's Erva. Even though in actuality there's no erva, but the Torah said it's like an erva. Let's read it inside. Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Tzara's Saita Asura. The Tzara of a Saita is Asur to do Yibum with, and there's no mitzvah chalitz either. Why? By Kaima, Tumuk Sivba Karayas. The Torah used the word Tuma to describe her, which is the same way as the Torah used by Erva, to tell me she has a halacha of an Erva. Rashi. Zakt Rashi. Tzara's Saita Asura. Hayanasu Beis Nashim. Reuven's married to two wives. Vezintza Achas Tachtav. And one of them was Mizana while she's under him. Vyesh Edim. There's not a question here. There's Edim. Umeis B'loi Banim. And then Reuven died without children. And he had not divorced the Saita yet. He, v'tzarasa p'turas af min achalitza. There's no mitzvah of yibum or chalitza. My time. Tumak sibba. The Torah uses the term tuma. B'nistara v'hinitma. She went into a room and became tumay. The new Torah uses the word for the out of marriage relationship, the extramarital affair, as tuma. And by Arias, it also uses Tumah. Karayas, the Ksiv Al Tatamu B'Cholelo. So since the Torah uses the same phrase, the Torah is telling me, treat her like an Erva. Now, my nafkamina, for Yibam and Chalitza. There's no mitzvah of Yibam and Chalitza. Zakti Gemar Vaitim Masiv Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda asked the question.
Now, a question.
Yes, you can.
A little bit out in left field. Does either one get a Ksuba?
The Saita, that's Mizana, does not get a Ksuba. But the Tzara, he can stay married to the Tzara. The husband can stay married to the Tzara. Again, Reuven's wife was Mizana. Reuven has another wife, he can stay married to her. She's not ushered to him. She didn't do anything to him.
But if he dies before he divorces her.
Right. So the Saita doesn't get a Ksuba. And the other wife would get a ksuba, like a regular wife that husband died.
Okay.
Let me say it differently. Let's say Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter and to another wife. Right, one of the 15 Ervas. Reuven dies without children. Shimon can't do Yibum because one of them is his daughter and one of them is a Tzara. He still has to pay them both a ksuba. There's no reason they shouldn't get paid their ksuba. It's only a Saita that loses her ksuba because of her indiscretions. Everybody else gets a ksuba.
Well, that's a reasonable question.
Why does he use the word sultan instead of she was mezana?
Well, what's the word for mezana? What does a woman become when she's mezana? See, the reason it's bothering you.
She becomes a sultan if you warned her, if she went through all the preliminaries of being warned and aids and
etc. Then she gets killed, then she's not around.
That's true.
Again, I think your question's based on the fact that everybody refers to a saita to the woman that we don't know if she's mezana. And we call her a saita. Okay. But it's really a she's called a saita suffix, really. We don't know if she's a saita. The word saita means she strayed from her husband. She committed an indiscretion. That's what makes her a saita, a woman who strayed. Now, if she didn't mezana, she didn't stray. A woman that was warned not to go privately into a room and went privately into a room now has assumed a status of somebody that we don't know if she's straight or not. We have reason to believe that she did, but we're not sure. So we call her a saita because of the fact that she might have strayed. But really the word saita refers to the woman that actually did stray and did commit an indiscretion and was mezana. So the word saita that is commonly used really refers to somebody that we should call suffix saita. But we use it as saita because that's what we're accusing her of. So we call her a saita. But really, saita is the one that definitely was mezana. It means a woman who strayed. The one we always refer to as a saita is called a saita because we think she might have strayed. We have reason to believe that she strayed, but we're not sure.
Okay.
Now, Masiv Rav Chisda, I would like to give an introduction to the Gemara's question. There's a Mishnah in Masechtas Yevamos in the 10th Perek. A man left town, and an Eid Echad came and told his wife that your husband died. Now, we trust an Eid Echad for that, because we say that a woman would investigate to make sure that her husband's dead before she remarries. Well, this woman's investigation obviously didn't do a good job. She got married to somebody else. Bezin gave her permission. She went to Bezin with the Eid Echad, who testified that he saw this woman's husband die. Bezin said to her, check it out, and if you're comfortable, you can get remarried. She got remarried, and who shows up? First husband shows up. Now that means the second marriage wasn't valid. You can't marry a woman whose husband is alive. So the first marriage is valid, and the second marriage is not valid, because she's an HSH. And then the Rabbanim threw the book at her, because we say she obviously didn't do a good enough investigation. And one of the parts of the Rabbanan that they threw the book at her was, according to the Tanna Kamma, that neither, let's say they both die without children, husband number one and husband number two, who's not really a husband, but she had gotten married to him because she had thought that she wasn't an Eishes Ish. And now both of those men died without children. So we say that both of the brothers should do chalitza. The brother of the first husband does chalitza biblically. The brother of the second husband does chalitza because it looked like it was his wife. It really wasn't. But since the world thinks she was married to the second husband also, so therefore we make him do chalitza. But we don't allow yibum. We don't allow yibum even from the first husband's brother. We don't allow yibum. That's what it says. We don't allow yibum. Now, what happened? Let's check it. Here's a woman that her first husband was alive. She went and married a second guy. That means, in essence, she was mezana. She, in essence, was mezana while she was married to her first husband. That's what happened. She was mezana. The first husband comes back and dies without children. Tanna Kamma says, no yibum allowed. Just chalitza. Rav Shimon Eimer, let's read it inside, Masruch Chisda, b'yasei chalitzasa miyachim sharishim peteres sarasa. Not true. Shimon says, we allow yibum. There's no reason that the first husband's brother can't do yibum. She's married to the first husband. He died without children. We let him do Yibum. Why shouldn't we let him do Yibum? That's what Rav Shimon says. The Rabbanan say, no, we don't allow Yibum. Rav Shimon says, we do allow Yibum. Why do we allow Yibum? She was Mizana. She's a Saita. According to Rav, not only shouldn't we allow Yibum, we shouldn't even need Chalitza. She's a Saita. She's a woman that was Mizana while she was married to her first husband. That's what happened. She was Mizana while she was married to her first husband. So why are we saying, according to Rav Shimon, he can even do Yibum. According to the Rabbanan, he does Chalitza. He doesn't need anything. So the Chayre proves Rav wrong. It's saying even a woman that was Mizana needs Yibum or Chalitza and can have Yibum or Chalitza from the brother. And not like Rav who says that neither her nor her tzara need Chalitza or Yibum. Rashi. B'yaseh Chalitza back, a woman that her husband went to a faraway country, and they came and they told her, your husband passed away. She got married. And then her husband came. We say she has to leave both of them. One of they died before they divorced her. They do chalitza, no yibum. Reb Shimon Eimer, biyase chalitza semeachem shorishin, biyar chalitza from the first one's brother, peterasi lechatchila sarasa. It absolves her and her tzara. Shari kishar nashim legabe yavam. She's like every other wife. The loy kinsu rabbanam yavam. There's no reason the yavam can't do yibum. The vade sharyale. Shanusa haisa, sheshama shemes. She's an anusa. She heard that her husband died. Alma, Nibulatakas Baila, Shayitzaras Liyabam. Now she committed Tumah. She was Mizana. Granted, it wasn't her fault completely, because she had an Ein Echad, and Bethan told her she can get married if she's comfortable. She was comfortable. Yet we say, there's no reason not to allow Yibum. Not only don't we allow, and for the, even the Rabbanan and the Tanakama only doesn't allow Yibum to her, but the Hatzari allows Yibum, and he does require Chalitza. Alma nivul atachas vayla shari tzaras aliyavam. Vafilu Rabbanan would plead by Reb Shimon al-Abdida. The Machlokes Rabbanan is what they can do Yibum to her. So how could Rav say that a woman is Mizana has no mitzvah Chalitza or Yibum? Here's a woman that was Mizana, and there is a mitzvah Chalitza or Yibum. The Rabbanan say don't do Yibum to her. But they say there's Chalitza, and they let Yibum by the Tzara. And for the Gemara, I don't understand your question. Amalak Rav. Amina lochanah, saita deraisa. That amitli, saita derabana. There's a big difference. That woman was Mizana willingly. She didn't commit tuma. She didn't do anything that was wrong willingly. When is it tuma karayas? A woman that's Mizana willingly. That's a saita deraisa. Really, that way lady is permissible to her husband. Bezen told her she can get married. She relied on Bezen. She got married. We say to her, you didn't do a good enough job checking, so we're going to punish you. But it's not a biblical punishment. Biblically, she's allowed to stay married to her first husband. Yes, she was Mizana under him. She thought he was dead. She made a mistake. You can't call her a Mazid. She's not a Mazid. She might not even be a Shagig. She might be more of an Inus. But the Rabbanan said, listen, lady, we expected more from you. We're not going to let you stay married to the first husband. We're going to punish you. But we're not going to, she's not biblically ushered to him. It's his wife who did an indiscretion, not bemazed. When does a woman become ushered to her husband? She's Mizana bemazed. This woman wasn't Mizana bemazed. Biblically speaking, when the first husband comes back, she can move back with him and stay married to him. She lived with a second husband for 6 years or for 10 years. Doesn't make a difference. It was blindness. It was a shaygig. What do you want from the lady? Her husband was dead as far as she was concerned. She thought she did an adequate check. She blew it. And now she got stuck with the consequences. But why should she be asked to her husband biblically? She wasn't Mizana willingly. Teretz's Rabbanan came along and asked her. But that's not a sight to deraisa. Rav said, I said it by a woman that's Mizana willingly. She did an indiscretion. The Torah says, Vehi nitma.
Vehi nitma is a willing act. In this case, it's not vehi nitma, because she didn't do it willingly. Therefore, there's chalitza, and according to Shimon, there's even yibum, because there's no biblical tumah here. And therefore, you cannot ask me a question from that case. Let's read it inside. Amalach Rav, Aminalach Ana, Soita Rabbi Raisa. I'm dealing with a Soita de Raisa, where the Torah said, Tuma. The Torah banned her. That Amitli Soita de Rabbanon. And you're giving me a case that biblically she can go back to her husband. It's only a rabbinic knas. How can you compare the two? Rashi, Soita de Raisa. Shazinsa v'atayra asraba. She was Mazana, the Torah asked it. V'at amritli saita drabana. Tami deraisa sharia. Biblically, she's permitted. Shanissa sabi bezin beid echad. She got married with a hetera bezin based on one aid. Right. She got met muta with a hetera bezin based on one aid. Right. Where am I? Right. Vanusahi. Rachmana sharia. And really permissible biblically to go back to her husband. The Siva 8 aim batray alechad. The Torah said there is no, two aidim, only one aid said she was Mazana. Vehiloin the tfas asura, if it was by, not by against her will, she's asur, meaning if she didn't do it bemazed, if she did it bemazed, it's asur, and it's tfas muteris. Any mistake, any einus is mutter. Rabbanon who the gazuba, this is exerid Rabbanon, ki hechi the teda shaper, she should check better, she maze baila, actually tinase. And therefore, Rav says, don't ask me a question from there, there she's biblically allowed to stay married to her husband. She's biblically allowed to stay married to her husband. It's not a saita. That's not a saita. It's a rabbanon saita. Rabbanon saita is different than a biblical saita. Frekti gemara de karila my karila. The one who asked the question, didn't he see the difference? Didn't he realize that she can stay married to the first husband? That it's not a case of saita? What was he jumping about? The Gemara Ksavra called the Tikkun Rabbanon came to rise the Tikkun. The one who asked the question felt that when the Rabbanon are going to make their knas, they're going to say, we treat it like a Saita Deraisa. And they would remove the ability of Yibum. They couldn't remove Chalitza, but they would remove the ability of Yibum. And Rav Shimon says he can do Yibum. And even the Rabbanon agree he can do Yibum to the Tzara. If the Rabbanon shape it like a deraisa, they would have banned it. Must be even deraisa you can do yibum. The answer is no. The Rabbanon didn't shape it exactly like the deraisa. You assumed that if the Rabbanon allowed it in their saita, it must be permissible in the deraisa saita. That's built on the fact that you assume that the Rabbanon are misakin exactly like the Torah. They're not. Not always is it exactly like the Torah. Zaktrashi. The Karila my Karila. Hello Emma Rav beside the Deraisa. The Sibatuma. Rav only said it by Deraisa. Zaktrashi Ksavar Hide the Parach. The one who asked the question thought, call the Tikkun Rabbanon Kane Deraisa Tikkun. The East Sait the Deraisa he Vatara Asura. If by a Sait the Deraisa he's not allowed to do Yibam to her and to her Tzara. Hachinami have Asu Rabbanon Tzara Meibam. The Rabbanon would have done the same by their Saita, by their rabbinic Saita. Well, now, they couldn't remove Chalitza, but they would have banned Yibum from her or her Tzara. And they didn't. They allowed Yibum by the Tzara, and Rav Shimon even allowed Yibum by her. That's why the person asked the question. Don't Rabbanon follow the contours of the Torah's Isser? And when they add an Isser, don't they shape it the same way the Torah did? And the answer is no, they didn't. They made a Knas, but they didn't shape it exactly the way the Torah shapes it. And therefore, they allowed Yibum to the Tzara, and they allowed, according to Rav Shimon, they even allowed Yibum to that woman alone. And therefore you cannot compare the two cases. Okay, Merit Hashem will continue tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.